Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to Table Flipping. I'm actress Taylor Mishak.
And I'm writer Alyssa Littman. Join us as we sit down with guests to unpack how the fascinating, messy women of reality TV have shaped our lives.
And of course, dish about Bravo, The Bachelor, and everything in between.
Thanks for listening.
I'm good. How are you feeling? You've moved.
We've moved. I'm in a room with no furniture, so sorry for any audio engineers out there. It's good. It's going good. There's wallpaper samples. You know, things are happening.
Isn't wallpaper kind of wild?
It's amazing.
What are you guys wallpapering?
You wanted to do like an accent wall in our office, mostly like Zoom background.
So Yeah. That's really funny. I'm trying to wallpaper a bathroom right now, and I picked something like months ago that was so colorful and loud, and now I'm like maybe regretful, but I'm just going to keep barreling through, and we have an appointment for someone to do it on Monday.
So. Wait, this is actually the perfect segue into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, because I have to tell you, I was trying to explain to Mike what toile is. I think that's how you say it. You know that kind of like blue and white drawing pattern. It's like very...
Yes. Okay. That's all over Kathy Hilton's room and body.
Yes. So I was like, I picked a sample that was like that kind of toile. And I was like, this is a rich person aesthetic. This is like French. This is like very sophisticated. And Mike was like, I don't get it. It looks like someone didn't color in their drawings. And he was like, I've never seen this before. And I was trying to tell him this was like high class, very fashion girl shit. And then I see fucking Kathy Hilton covered in toile, 12 vases, 12 clothes, 12 curtains, all of it. And I was like, I am the same person as Kathy Hilton.
You're Kathy Hilton. Oh my God, you have such boozy taste. Yes. I love it. It's so funny. Every time I've tried to win Tony over with a wallpaper, he's always like, listen, wallpaper can be so girly. And I'm like, everything can be girly. Yeah. Like, it's not that all wallpaper is just feminine. I was like, I think that you're thinking about flowers. Do you just think that all flowers are girly and that all wallpaper have flowers? And he was like, I guess that is what I'm thinking. And I was like, okay, so we just have to find wallpaper without flowers, which you'll be shocked to know is very possible to find. Mm-hmm, that is okay. That's wild. I, first of all, love that. What is it? Toile, you said?
I think it's called toile. And I was texting it to Mike and he was like, I literally thought you were leaving the T off the word toilet. So I thought you were telling me Kathy Hilton has a room full of toilets that's toilet themed. And I'm like, well, it wouldn't surprise me. She has so much money.
No, I love that, I mean, pattern, for lack of a better word, or that just, like, look. There's, when I was living alone, I had sort of a similar sort of vibe on my, like, bedding that I loved so much. And I thought, I did also feel that it was, like, fancy. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Kathy Hilton, do you think Who is Hunky Dory is real?
What do you think? She's, like, acting now?
Okay, so there are people online that are like, she is amplifying this part of her personality up because she is trying to be funny. She's trying to just like stay goofy so that like nobody can really point fingers at her for anything like legitimate or get in some sort of like weird fight with her. But to interrupt Sutton crying, saying, I can't pretend everything is hunky-dory when it's not, by saying, who is hunky-dory? Feels so goofy to me, Alyssa. What do you mean, who is Hunky Dory? I think my bigger point is that not that she does, like, obviously never heard the word Hunky Dory before, which is crazy, is that she would, like, inject herself into that moment of somebody sobbing to, like, ask this goofy question. People, for the most part, are loving it, but I have a little bit of skepticism about it.
I hear you. I think she might also just be like heavily medicated, like a rich woman. So, and she might just be a little like loopy and have no more feelings left. We don't know what she's seen being married to Conrad Hilton. Her daughter's Paris Hilton. Like, who knows? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, think about the apple and the tree, right? Like Paris Hilton is sort of, I guess you could say that's her brand of comedy as well. Just like misunderstanding everything. So she had to have gotten it from somewhere. I'm not sure. I'm not sold on the fake performance, but I will keep an eye out for it.
I think that there's just moments where I'm like, this is pushing it a little too far. Okay. But I also have to give, I guess, some of that responsibility over to like the edit and like what we're seeing of her. And they're amplifying this a lot too from Bravo's perspective. True. And I will also say I was very happy to see that when Sutton sat down and Kathy Hilton herself went, hello, what did she call? Thomasina,
yeah.
And I thought that was such a perfect combination of her being goofy and a fucking shitster. I was like, welcome to the Housewives, Kathy. That's what I need from you. Like, I want you to be goofy and silly and, like, accidentally drinking a Red Bull at 2 a.m. because you don't know what it is. But then I also need you to, like, help move the story and the drama forward every once in a while. Like, you got to participate. And that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
So that was exciting. I was so jealous of this whole gathering. Like, I wanted so badly. Like, imagine you're just, like, in the height of COVID and you just get to go over to Lisa Rinna's house and have homemade bolognese from her fucking handsome husband.
I know. It was, like, Harry's bolognese luncheon, which I loved. And also, can we talk about – I've literally never seen this before and nobody commented on it, which means it must be, like, something that all rich people have. Did you see those little, like, spinning things by the charcuterie plate?
Alyssa, did I see them? I paused it. Did I fucking see them? I paused it and I went, Tony!
I have to get it!
Impressed. Yeah, I was like, this makes so much sense, especially since nobody told me that there's so many flies on the West Side. There's a lot of flies over here.
There's flies everywhere.
There's flies everywhere, girl, but there are a lot of flies over here. And I guess it's even more noticeable because there's not.
Well, you do live by the canals. You live very close to the canals, which is standing water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's lots of, I've like had fruit flies when there's like nary a fruit in sight. So mm-hmm. I'm over it. But I loved those things. So we'll have to post them on Instagram, but they're like truly tiny little like windmills that you can put by your charcuterie board or any food that you're having outside, and it keeps flies and bugs away.
So smart.
I haven't been able to, I'm going to find one, and I certainly hope that I could get one that's not like $4 million. Because it obviously is like a rich person accessory, but I hope you could get one and it's like somewhat affordable. Like there's got to be an Amazon version.
Yeah, you could just put a very tall, like, you know those fans that you bring around to an amusement park? You just put those by the charcuterie plate. And you could pay, you know what? You could tape little straws to them. And then the straws would extend the fan, and there's your, like, you know, bargain basement charcuterie plate protector.
I love this. Come to our janky version of the Lisa Rinna, Harry Hamlin, Bolognese night. We just have straws taped to amusement park fans flying left and right.
So
no, I want one of those so bad. I'm so happy you noticed it, too. And wait, speaking of style, I don't know how you'll feel about this or if you'll even remember it, but I do think that the like retro baseball uniform with like a floral pattern on it that Erika Jayne is wearing when everyone comes to her house is like my favorite garment of clothing I've maybe ever seen. Like that feels like the epitome of my style. Like I love fucking flowers and I love weird like tomboyish things, and yet it looks so comfortable. It was like made of silk. I'll have to take a picture of it and put it on Insta too, but I was like, this is a ridiculous outfit, but it's absolutely, I think, my like height of fashion.
Yeah, she does like very comfortable but very fashionable really well. Like it's essentially she's always wearing like a sweatsuit, but it's like a fashion girl version of
a fashion girl version.
Sweatsuit. Yeah.
And it's still always like flattering without having to be super, super, super tight. It's like, because I feel like sometimes I put on like a tracksuit or like with these like matching loungewear things that are so fashionable now, and I look like a big baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just look like a toddler, and I'm like, how do I still look like a woman in this? But she's figured it's probably fucking tailored. That's what rich people do with their clothes. They're tailored.
Which, by the way, did you see that all that shit is going to get taken away from her? Because a judge ruled that Tom Girardi's victims can go after Erika Jane's assets.
Terrifying.
I saw that shoe closet and I was like, those are gone.
They're gone, honey. And right, and to have that ruling right after an episode where she rattles off all of the things that she gets her own income from, like her Shoe Dazzle collab and her fucking makeup Too Faced collaboration. She's like, I've got enough for my tiny house and my Postmates. It's like, no, honey, you've got enough for the victims whose money you've stolen to come back and get it from you. That's what you've got enough for. That's wild. And it's, and wasn't it ruled in just one, it was ruled in one case, for lack of a better word, for one of the victims, and there's like so many more. Mm-hmm. So it could just keep happening. I don't see why it wouldn't.
It's also just like so offensive. Like, I don't know where she's living right now. I'm sure we could easily find out, but she's like, I just have my tiny house with like some of my stuff. And I'm like, that yeah. house costs more than any house I could ever buy. Like,
no, it's a so multi-million ridiculous. Dollar home, you asshole. Like, don't fucking. And she's like, can you believe I'm living in a place with three bedrooms? And it's like, yeah, well,
she's like, I actually kind of like it. I'm using the dishwasher. And I'm like, bitch, I just went 7 years with no dishwasher. Like, fuck
oh my
you.
God. Fuck off, Erica. Yeah, that is a wild development. I wonder how long it's going to take for us to get any sort of verdict or any sort of conclusion with Tom himself. Like, what's happening
there? Feels like years, right? I don't know. It feels like they're gonna drag forever. This shit out. I did enjoy, what do you think of this whole, I want to get into like the Crystal Sutton fight, but I just also would like to point out that our girl Dorit she was in the fight giving great face like reactions and you know all of that with a full like Dior hair clip spelled out on the side of her head. So there's this one reaction shot where it's like she whips her head around and it just says Dior in her hair. And at one point she literally, it's like just off the side of the center of the frame. You see her like talking to Sutton who's crying and she's checking her lipstick in the selfie yes. camera.
Yes. I love it so much. You could tell that she, because the camera's sort of behind her, and that's why we can even see the selfie camera on her phone. And I feel like there's this moment of like, the camera is not on me because of this fight. So I have a second. And it's mm-hmm. like, girl, the camera is right fucking behind you. But I love that because that's what I also don't have like a little compact. I just check my phone. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I was like, am I Dorit?
She has her priorities straight.
Yeah, she's figured it out. No, I loved what she was giving. I thought this fight was so funny. I think that, listen, I think that they're both being a little extreme, and that's what makes it feel like they're just like the heightened versions of their characters and that this fight is getting out of hand. I also will say, like, Crystal is intimidating. She's fucking, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would not want to be on her bad side. I also wanted to ask you how hardcore that you related to her when Crystal called uncompetitive people losers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
was like,
do
that's very
that.
Alyssa. Mm-hmm, that's yeah. so Alyssa.
Like, I
Alyssa
murdered like three people at a beer pong party at your house. And they were like, yeah. I had no idea you were so competitive. And I was like, oh, you didn't? That's weird. Crazy. Like trying to act like I'm not a fucking monster when it comes to any kind of games.
Oh, yeah, somebody man. Walked inside and was like, wow, Alyssa, like, really, really whooped my ass in beer pong just now. Like, in a shocking way. And I'm like, that rings, yeah, that makes sense. Did I know she was good at beer pong? No. But would I put money on it? Yeah. Especially if you were like, why don't we all go play beer pong? Like, that's the writing on the wall. That's the writing on the wall. Anytime you're going to be like, hey, Taylor, why don't you, do you want to go bowling? I would be like, oh, man, that's a bad sign. But yeah, she's fucking competitive as fuck.
I love it. So. I love a sporty housewife. I love, she's really good at tennis. Tennis is very hard, as I discovered over the pandemic. I used to think tennis was just like, sort of like a rich people half sport, unless you were like really competing at it, you know, but just like casually, yeah. it doesn't look like it's that hard. It's super hard. And
yeah,
she's very
even
good.
Casually. Tony yeah. and I have gone like once or twice and bopped it around. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not even something you could casually do. It's a no. It's a great workout. Mm-hmm. Did you think that jealous of what your ugly leather pants hit as well as it did in the trailer? What did you think about the Sutton Crystal
fight? I think it's
fight?
A little overdone. I think, you know, this is what Beverly Hills does, right? We have a full-blown fraud case going on with Erika Jane. We have a 37-year-old man trying to impregnate a 19-year-old daughter. And what do we spend a whole episode on? Sutton crying over being called, you know, violating or whatever. Yeah. It's like, I don't really care. I think Sutton is a little bit unhinged right now, whether mm-hmm. that's her hormones or what's going on in her life or whatever. She's clearly extremely emotional. And I think Crystal is not unbothered and scary and a mean girl, whether she's right or wrong. Like, the way she fights is very mean girl-esque. And mm-hmm. so I'm just a little like, you guys don't like each other. Let's move on to the real stuff, which it seems like we're going to get next week through the Erica crying teaser.
Yeah, Erica crying teaser. Oof. Yeah, that does seem like it's going to be a lot. Should we get into Roni?
Yes, let's get into Roni. This is so scary.
Okay, I was going to say, have you been to Salem, Massachusetts?
No.
Okay, I've been to Salem, Massachusetts maybe 12 times. Like,
what?
I've been so much. So I lived in New Hampshire for like 4 or 5 years. And my mom is like very, very into any and all things that are very spooky. And also mm-hmm. just like very into the Salem witch trials, which I would like to say are two different things. And mm-hmm. the actual city is very, very much, I don't know, it like that separation is very obvious when you're there, because half of the actual town is separated into this like very historic, very respectful sort of a vibe. And then the other half is like, get your tarot cards read and get a spooky like ghost tattoo. And it's like a really fascinating place to be in terms of like tourism, because there's a lot of people who are there who are just like big history buffs who are like made to feel somewhat uncomfortable by all of like the witchy, mm-hmm. like spooky things. And then there's the opposite, where is this trip that we're seeing on Roni, where it's like just a bunch of women wanting to like go get wasted and wear witch hats. And so it's the most fascinating place to be. And my mom would take me there constantly. Like, we were just like always there. And it was like the coolest little town. I will say that they have these amazing reenactment like trials with actors that you could go and sit in the courthouse, and they will perform like scripts of the actual trials of people that were being accused of being witches and like fucking warlocks, and you can watch them do it. And they're so committed, Alyssa, that they like inspired me. I'm like,
I was gonna say,
actor because of these people.
Yeah, wow. Yes. I love that.
And then
for
my
you.
My senior year at Ithaca, they did the Crucible, and I was like, there's just no way I'm not gonna be Abigail in this. Like, I've done the fucking homework. If I'm not Abigail, I'm gonna light this place on fire. And they were smart enough to cast me, and it was like such a full circle moment in my life, because I was just so already like knee deep in everything witch trials. So I was hoping that, and I know we have another episode, but I was hoping that they might have a little bit more of an actual like honoring of everything that happened to like the 21 people that died and were murdered because of this like crazy hysteria. But instead they're doing this just like, everything is spooky and we're trying to scare you with these like twins. So I don't know, but I hope that they do the other side too, because it's such a fascinating little town.
I mean, the gist of it, like the adult, I feel like you always have to learn like the adult version of history, where you're like, oh, actually what we didn't hear in school is that yeah. they just like murdered a bunch of women because they didn't like them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. Yeah.
They're like, you can swim, we're gonna burn you alive. Like,
no,
that was
and they
it.
were bored as fuck. I personally am one who believes in the bread mold theory, which is that a lot of the little girls that had supposedly seen all of these visions of the women in the town, who, again, like you said, they just didn't like seeing shit flying or doing something bad with their poppy dolls, were eating moldy bread that had hallucinogens in it, and were just like truly actually drugged. And also, these people were so fucking bored because they weren't allowed to do anything, even play games. Like, it was just like a horrible, horrible life. And this was like the most exciting thing to happen to them. And they just like killed a bunch of women who were probably pretty chill. All of them sounded
fun.
Like they were very creative and cool.
Cute.
So, but you're not allowed to do that. But yeah, so I just had to go on my Salem rant because I'm obsessed with it.
I love that. And I love that they're just like, we need a break from the election where we're going to elect the first women in history. Let's go play spooky seance at a very
yeah.
like historic women's studies-esque site.
Yeah. like you could do that anywhere in New York too. Yeah. If you just like want to go play with a Ouija board somewhere with really cool decorations, like do it. I think we've done it on other episodes. Like, that would be fine. But yeah, so I think it's just such a fun, and it's bizarre to me that they're there during COVID, like that they were like, what's a place that we could go, like Salem? Just so bizarre. But we'll have to go one day because it is very fun to visit and do like a little bit of both. Like I always like to go and like do the reenactment plays, but then like go get my tarot cards read before we left, because it's just cool. Like a fun vibe.
I love that.
But what did you think of this episode?
I love Sonia wearing her face mask as like a visor on her eyes. That was highlight of the episode. I love Sonia going to Philly with this beautiful matchmaker who yes, I like so much.
I love her. How do we get her on the pod? I'm obsessed with this woman. I love that she's in Philly. I loved her whole energy. I'm fascinated by her business. I'm fascinated. I was surprised she was like so young and cool. It strikes me as something that... like a matchmaker, I think of like an older, wiser woman. But this bitch was hot.
Yeah, I feel like maybe she could have been a housewife, but maybe she's not wealthy enough or something. It just seemed like she's getting friend of treatment. But maybe in the future, she'll get leveled up. Maybe she'll move to New York and not be in Philly, and then that'll help her out or something.
Does that, though, and this is just occurring to me, the fact that she is, like, a matchmaker to the stars and she's based in Philly prove you and I have amazing taste?
Yeah. Sure. Why not? Let's give ourselves credit.
She's like, listen, I'll hook you up, but I'm based in Philly. Like, most of my amazing bachelors are going to be in Philly.
Sonia Morgan married JP Morgan and had a private island, and we have dated for a very long time to filmmakers that have done some things. It's the same thing, obviously.
It's the same thing. Yeah, I loved this. I loved this matchmaker thing. I think it's so funny to like the answers of like, what do you do and what are you interested in? Like made me kind of cringe for Sonia. But then I realized like nobody's answers wouldn't. It's such a weird sort of vulnerable place to be in. If somebody's like, hey, how do you spend your time and how do you want to spend your time with a partner? They're just like always going to be like sort of awkward and weird. It's such a like sort of naked experience to just have to tell someone professionally like how and who you would like to date. But I'm happy she's doing it.
I loved Ebony saying Sonia, like Sonia was trying to be like, I don't care about money. And she was like, let me step in on behalf of my client. Sonia married the bank. We don't want any broke asses. Like, because Sonia will like fuck a busboy and be like, we're getting married. You know, like no shade to busboys, but like, that's not good for her. Like, we don't want that to be happy. We don't want a Kevin Federline is what I'm trying to say.
And she doesn't realize what the consequences of that would even be. So, it would be a good friend to be like, hey, you've lived a certain life for a while. Then sure, there's wiggle room, but let's not get brash here. Yeah. You married the bank, honey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you heard that putting hats on a bed are bad luck?
I don't know. I was going to ask you the same thing. I've never heard that before.
I'm sure there's so many like superstitious rules that I am not privy to, but I know quite a bit coming from like theater especially. And like, I've just never heard about hats on a bed being bad, but
I don't know.
Maybe Luann. Maybe, you know what?
Luann is, you know, American Indian, as she would say. So I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. No, that's a horrible thing to say. She's just always constantly bringing that up.
Oh my God. Like, it's a cowboy faux pas.
What?
Placing your cowboy hat on a bed is said to invite mischievous bad luck or foretell an argument. At worst, it's a premonition of injury or death. It is a cowboy superstition.
Okay, well, as someone who is part Native American, it feels like that's not your culture.
Yeah, that's exactly the opposite, Luann. Jesus Christ. Wait, that's so funny.
Get your brand correct or don't have it at all. That's all
Figure
I have to say.
It out.
They all wanted to fuck a ghost, which is weird. I don't identify with that.
No, I know, but that feels sort of like an older woman thing. Or again, maybe just my weird mom. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's like maybe all your crushes die. You're like, oh my God, Elvis is dead. Maybe I have a chance now in the afterlife. I don't know.
Do you think that like vampires are sexy?
No.
Yeah. See, that's another... No. Yeah, I think that vampires and ghosts being sexy is maybe something that we grow into, Alyssa. We'll have to just find out.
I don't know. But, I'm scared of them. Like, I don't want a ghost or vampire. Like, the problem is I sort of believe in, maybe not vampires, but I believe in that stuff. And if I start to think about it too much, then I'm afraid I'll, like, attract it to me. And so I'm just like, no sex, no terror, like, none of it for me. Thank you. I'll just focus on being alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This makes sense. This makes sense.
Yeah, what else should we, I don't know, this whole like fight between Ramona and Ebony, and Ramona screaming, should I apologize for being white? My mother came here with nothing. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the person that we think you are, Ramona.
Yeah, it's getting, yeah, that got like very off the rails, but it's at least interesting to watch, again, like we were saying last week, all of them kind of chime in with their own sort of weird, so it becomes just like a more classic Housewives fight. And so that aspect of it I was enjoying, but it's becoming sort of like a broken record, especially with Ramona. Mm-hmm. And like the her getting up to leave is annoying to me. I'm like, second, that's, I always hate when any housewife does that.
Yeah.
So stop doing it for this, because this is obviously not going away.
It's like she went to one therapy session and she's like, I did therapy, and the only thing the person said is like, when you feel yourself getting to a 10, like walk away. And that she's like, that's all I need. And that's all she does all the time now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's precisely it. Which, wait, is a perfect segue into the Hills.
Yes.
So I, first of all, before I ask how we feel about murder mysteries, the segue is that I do feel like Spencer and Heidi are the perfect example of the guilting narcissist. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have parents that are like this, a lot of people just like know friends that are like this, but that when shit hits the fan and the finger is pointed to them or they get confronted, they do a like, well, then I guess nobody wants me here. Mm-hmm. So I guess I will just leave because you all hate me. And just like try to flip the script so that you're like asking them to stay. You're like, no, I'm not saying that I hate you. I'm saying that you can't be like making fun of this person's sobriety, or you can't be doing this on this trip or whatever. And it's like this episode was such a classic example of like a guilting narcissist, and they do it together and they feed into each other. And it's so wild to see their like evil toxic power grow between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watching the interviews afterwards and watching Heidi try to justify what Spencer did was pretty insane to me. Like, she, there was no like, you know, just because you're in a couple doesn't mean you stand by every single thing that your partner does. Like, there's definitely times where you're like, hey, that wasn't cool, I don't appreciate that, and then you talk about it and you move forward, you know. But Heidi, yeah, just trying to be like, no, we really care about Jason, and we saw that he almost lost his house, and so we don't know that he's capable of being sober, and that's part of being sober. It's like, fuck you, you're a horrible person.
Terrible, terrible. It's wild to see a couple that's so, as we've said on the pod before, like, made for each other, and clearly, like, I don't think breaking up anytime soon, but, like, do not challenge each other to be better in any single way, and are only, like, creating their like crazy black hole of sucking things in deeper and deeper together.
I did really enjoy seeing, so they're getting into a fight, and Jason, who was, you know, on the original season as Lauren Conrad's boyfriend, Jason screaming at Spencer, you're the same fucking weirdo you were 15 years ago. I was like, nobody ever talks about the original like chemistry in the show. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, I haven't seen you in so long, blah, blah, blah. But it was cool to get like a peek behind the curtain of what Jason like might have thought of Spencer at the time. And then Spencer being full classic Spencer, just saying like, calm down, I don't want you to relapse, dude. It was just like, wow, this is vintage. Yeah. This is vintage Hills for sure.
That's so true. Yeah, they don't talk about it. I mean, the closest it's been getting lately is obviously Kristen Cavallari coming back for like a second. But even then, they weren't even referring to the passes in the show. Mm-hmm. They were just like talking about the past. And then now this sort of like Audrina Brody thing. But yeah, it's like, talk about that those two couples strike me as people who were not at all hanging out before this MTV producer came back and was like, what if? And then I imagine Spencer and Heidi were more so the people that were like, let's get back in each other's lives. Like, let's make this happen, because they would be so desperate to get back on this show. So these like references to them going to each other's children's birthday parties and like getting closer. That seems all in the recent like couple years, all to do with this show. And I would feel especially betrayed if I'm Jason and Jason's wife, if like then they pull me onto this show and then start fucking being horrible to me. I'd be like, what the fuck? You guys are insane people. You guys are bad shit crazy. It would just be so hard to live a life with them in it. And then once you add cameras into the mix, I don't know how you would be able to handle that friendship, like, ever. It's bonkers.
I don't think, if I'm Jason's wife and I'm pregnant, there's just like no way I could stay calm in that situation.
Yeah.
I thought she was pretty okay. I probably would have dove across the table like that. And also for Heidi to be so like, I really think a part of this is that Heidi's jealous that they're pregnant again.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like Spencer's just probably shit talking them, being like, you wouldn't want to be them because he's like a loose cannon. Yeah, I just, that whole situation, like the idea of having to stay calm for 9 months when you're like full of hormones is just so crazy to me.
Yeah.
I also love that Spencer and Heidi like did some sort of Reiki healing thing. And it's so funny. They're like, we're just trying to get rid of negative energy. And she's like in a full beat, like she's wearing a red lip, like laying on the ground.
Oh, that made me want to ask you too. I think it's insane, and she referenced it a few times. She asked her makeup artist to watch Gunner. And as someone who has recently had the luxury of having somebody come and do my makeup and before an event, that is not a situation where you go, will you watch my baby while I go to this dinner? Like during COVID, it seems so bonkers. And she kept being like, my makeup artist is doing me a favor and watching my baby. And I'm like, that's insane. And obviously, as somebody who probably has a full beat every day, she might have like a wicked close relationship to her makeup artist, and it might be a little bit different. But like, that woman has a job and it's not your babysitter. So it's so weird that that kept coming up. I was like, yeah, you shouldn't be at this dinner, Heidi. That's crazy. Those are two completely different jobs. That's not cool. Wait, which also reminds me, how do you feel, Alyssa, about murder mystery and murder mystery nights?
You know, I've never done one before. And I don't love lying. You know, like we've talked about when you play Mafia or like Among Us, I get very stressed. So as long as I'm not the murderer, I think I could have fun. But if I was the murderer, I'd be just like, my face would be red. I'd be panicking the whole time, being like, why don't you talk to Taylor? She seems suspicious. Like, it would so clearly be me and it would be over.
I haven't done one either, but I think that they look fun, but you can't control, like, you would have to get a group that is agreeing how committed they're going to be to it, right? So I would see myself getting annoyed if I, like, have my character and I'm getting into it, and then other people are like, I don't really care about this. I just want to talk about other stuff. I'd be like, well, are we playing the game or are we not playing the game?
I'm actually 1,000,000% shocked, as you would have bet that I was very competitive at beer pong. I would have bet that you had done several murder mystery parties. It's a very theater school thing.
It is. It is very theater school thing. I think I was invited to one, and for some reason I couldn't go, and I was really bummed out about it. I have done, though, my friend Bert has hosted, like, really good werewolf nights, and that's the closest thing. And that's more like Mafia. And but that's not as much of a, like, you're playing a character. Like, I've never been assigned a character that has, like, an alibi, and you get to, like, sort of improv around the room. Like, werewolf, you all still sit in a circle, and then you are trying to, like, play. It's exactly like Mafia. So those I've been to, and those I love. But yeah, isn't it crazy? I've been to Salem like 12 times, but I haven't had a murder mystery
Someone
night.
Invite her to a murder mystery
Someone
ASAP.
Invite me to a murder mystery night.
She would crush but it. I can already
I would also
see
like
a
to
little
not
flapper headband. Yeah. You,
oh my God.
You know,
thank
red
you.
Lip, everything is made for you.
Oh my God. Thank you. How exciting.
Wait, I have to ask you, what did you think of this? I have been thinking that this Brody Audrina shit is fake, but seeing them, I know that it's edited, but like I could feel the chemistry just like sitting next to each other by the fireplace making s'mores.
Oh my God. There's marshmallow in your mustache, Brody. Yeah. The like cute flirting back and forth. They clearly have chemistry.
Yeah.
But they're both also so fucking hot that I don't really give them that much credit for that.
Fine.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, but I also wonder if okay, there's like a little, almost like a showman's theory behind this, where let's say that there is a somewhat produced conversation behind the scenes of them being like, you know, what would be funny as if we did like a will they, won't they with Audrina and Brody. Like, they're both single this season. They're both so hot. Like, what if we did a will they, won't they? Are you guys down to do that? Like, we're not going to make you do anything you don't want to do, but we're going to be asking the other castmates about your flirtation and whatever. Just that, if only even just that happened, I guarantee there would be this like explosion of sexual tension between the two of them, because that was addressed and because they're like playing the role and they're both like, yeah, we're both just gonna like flirt on camera and like pretend that we're into kissing each other, but we're like sort of not. Like, that would actually produce so much hot energy between mm-hmm, them. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? So like, yeah. That's what I feel like we're seeing at this fire, is that maybe the original spark of this being a plot on the show was sort of prompted by The Hills, but what we're seeing still feels very real because they have a very palpable real chemistry that's only being amped by this mm-hmm. whole thing.
That makes sense. I also really did not, you know, I would hope that their flirting was more interesting than Audrina just saying like, just put it in my mouth, Brody, you know. I was disappointed in that.
Yeah, you would hope, but they gotta beat you over the head with this show.
I have this really like complex, intimate relationship I built between them in my head that clearly doesn't exist at all.
Well, supposedly it does if there's these like late nights that even...
Yeah, what are they talking about if that's what they're flirting?
Yeah, what could they possibly be talking about? But even Caitlin was referring to it happening before the cameras were rolling. So if that's true, then they do have stuff to say. Maybe it has to do with like everything that's going on with Audrina's daughter that she's not allowed to talk about on camera too.
Can you?
But that's hard for me to believe that like Brody Jenner is like her fucking like safe space friend to talk about her parenting issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's a separate thing that I think we should talk about, how Caitlyn Jenner is coming off in this show. But can you literally imagine how fucking fast I would break up with Mike if he was hanging out with a girl one-on-one, talking to her straight through the night? Like, yeah, multiple... No. Like, if that happened even one time, I'd be like, no, we're not together anymore.
No. Yeah, it's definitely a very weird violation. And the only exception to the rule would be if there's like, look, you're dating a guy who's like very best friend in the entire world, like would be the woman of honor at your wedding, is a woman, and they're super, super close. But even then, you would expect like in some ways a relationship to sort of change after you're married to somebody. And like, there's just some things that would change. Like, I don't know. Maybe that makes me sound like an asshole.
But no, I mean, I feel staying like up all night that close, is crazy. If you're that close and you're a girl, then like, I'm invited too, and I'm going to help you out as well. You know, it's as simple as that. It's like, why am I excluded from this? I don't know. It seems very strange. I'm a big believer of like,
that's the bigger thing.
If you respect someone's relationship, then you do your best to have a relationship with your friend's partner, you know? And so if you're excluding someone all night long, like multiple times, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. And like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I feel like Caitlin is coming off kind of like extra bitter about everything.
Yeah. And it makes me feel bad though. Cause like, I do think that there are moments that everybody forgets that she was like married to Brody, that they dated for so long and they got married and they're exes. And like, it gives me, as somebody who tries often and often, not to toot my own horn, authentically am like more of a cool girl vibe in a situation mm-hmm. like this. I'm friends with lots of exes. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I genuinely do tolerate that's just like not a front or me putting on, that's like some sort of airs about something. But that can sometimes make people trot on your feelings when they are real or they are hurt, you are sensitive to something, because you present yourself as someone who's not sensitive about these things. So her being friends with Brody, really cool, going to all these gatherings, and then having no one ever ask if she's okay or feeling a certain type of way about Brody moving on or about these jokes with Brody romantically in front of her is a bummer. I think that's a shitty situation to be in, right?
Yeah, I don't, it's tough because, you know, what did you think the show was?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I think in a normal situation where they don't have to be around each other 24/7, I'd be like, yeah, in isolated incidences, I could see why you'd want a heads up. But, like, you know that this is going to be happening. You know that, I don't know, I just feel, and she's also dating someone. I guess it's interesting that, like, so she, her reasoning for being upset about Brody and Audrina was that when she talked to Audrina, Audrina said, like, Brody and I would never want to ruin our friendship over that. And her, and she was like, which doesn't even factor how I feel about it into the situation. And my thing is, like, I would be more like, okay, so you guys do want to be with each other, and you did want to be with each other when I was married to him, but you just think that fucking might not work out. Like, that's more like, what I'm mad about.
You're not, you weren't thinking about me now or then. Yeah. Like, you're completely, the only reason you guys aren't hooking up is because of reasons within yourself that has nothing to do with his wife at the time and his current ex-wife. Yeah, I think that's a
really
good
point.
Have
feelings for each other, and you didn't, you know? Like, they're
but
not saying
do.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be very, very annoying to hear, and that's a really good point. I also think, like, you would want, I think if I was Caitlin, I would want just a nod to, like, look, I know that, you know, you get where I'm coming from, or I know this is hard for you to hear. Like, just some sort of reference, so it's not, doesn't just feel like two friends talking about Brody. I think Caitlin's just like, does anybody remember? Like,
does
anybody want to do one nod to just me being like, is this okay? So, like, that's where I feel for her, that she has to toot her own horn about this, because not a single person in the room is like, Caitlin, you good? Or, like, even making jokes about it. They're just, like, completely ignoring her when it comes up. Like, the sad scene with everybody at the table, like, ribbing on Brody and Audrina for potentially hooking up. And nobody even did, like, a sideways glance to Caitlin. I was like, oh, ouch. That sucks.
I really think they all feel like you were getting eaten out by Miley Cyrus on a yacht. Like, you're fine. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But it's interesting to see how it's what, like you said, the impression of her is for the audiences, because there's just, like, no, I feel like there's no way to win. And I can't believe she got to be with Brody for 6 years. You know what I mean?
I know. It's crazy.
And then got to get eaten out by Miley Cyrus on a yacht.
Even more crazy.
Good, like, for she's fine.
She's fine. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, she's fine. She's going to be fine. She's also dating someone else. And she has a girl on the show who's into her. Like, it's okay. Like, everyone has stuff going on. It's not like she's a loner. Okay.
Let's talk about Siesta Key.
Yay.
Okay, so you made a great point last week, and you actually texted it to me after, because of your cable debacle, you couldn't watch the very end of Siesta Key, and I described to you the Kelsey-Juliet fight. And then afterwards, you watched it, and you texted me, and you were like, it's so insane that Juliet is still the voiceover for this show after being so openly violent. Like, how the fuck is anybody approving of this from, like, a production standpoint, from, like, just a role model standpoint, the entire thing? And then this episode starts, and there is no Juliet voiceover. And we get a Kelsey voiceover, we get an Amanda voiceover, and what's the word? There's a change of guard, and you predicted it.
Well, because I was just like, how? I mean, I love it, but, like, how can your protagonist be someone who's punched multiple people in the face?
Yeah, you can't do that.
I have no doubt she'll come back, but it's interesting that they decided to take a break from that.
Yeah. Well, do you think the leaving the island was whose idea do you think that was?
Probably the producers. I just don't even know. Because in real life, when you punch someone like that, you get sued for assaulting somebody.
Yeah, you gotta go.
So I'm, like, sure the producers were like, you guys gotta separate. We can't have any more of this.
Yeah. But it's also a fucking island. Like, just, like, it's crazy to me that they were like, you have to get off of the island. I wonder if some of it came from, like, Sam and Sam's people that are like, this is your punishment. But then it obviously wasn't, because they just, like, went to Miami and partied. So, yeah, I guess it had to have been production figuring it out. They also were there for weeks. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I think that's – could you imagine being on that island for weeks?
I feel like it's stressful. I don't like it. It's too much time.
Too much time to be on this, like, beautiful, beautiful. I feel like eventually it would just get scary. It would start to turn into something really, really spooky that I would, like, not be a fan of. But it wasn't until the end, when they all decided to go home, that they were like, the past few weeks have been kind of crazy. And I was like, oh my God, weeks, dude. That's bonkers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did this Siesta Key make you feel? What's the vibe? What's happening, Alyssa?
I really enjoyed them being like, Kelsey's more motivated than you. Like, Juliet didn't get her swimsuits done in time, so she's unmotivated. Like, I just love that it's now all, it's before it was all about like partying and being young, and now it's like, what are our careers? Like, we have to make a name for ourselves.
Yeah. And when did that happen?
Yeah. It's just all such like bullshit. Kelsey's swimsuits look like just the most basic swimsuits you could ever create. Like, you basically just drew a swimsuit and you're like, red, blue, yellow, thank you. Like,
Madison, that's being it. Like, I feel like these are for the everyday girl.
I know. That's like when somebody sees, like, when I was in film school and people would watch your short films, they'd be like, the lighting's really pretty. You're like, fuck you. Like, I work so hard on a story and all this shit. And you're like, the lighting's nice.
The lighting is really pretty. Yeah, the swimsuits are swimsuits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're swimsuits. Like, when you asked me about Pudu Pudu on Abbott Kinney, and it's like, it's pudding. It was pudding. It was nice pudding, but it is pudding. And that's, like, what the swimsuits are. The swimsuits are pudding. Like, they're just pudding. But it's, so fun to watch the stakes. I've said this from the beginning. The stakes of the swimsuit battle being so high are everything to me. Mm-hmm. It is. This is really turning me into a Kelsey stan, though. I was like, am I going to buy one of these basic-ass swimsuits? Because I am really enjoying watching her. I think that she's doing a good job of, and the show is doing a good job of creating this character that is not too on the other end of this. Like, she's not being too much of a good girl. There's a little bit of it. There's some moments where she comes off as, like, I don't know, preachy about Juliet, or like too, like, I don't know. But I'm liking her. Are you liking her, or are you annoyed?
I mean, I don't know so much that I'm liking her as that everyone else is so horrible that she's the only neutral party left, which is kind of exciting. Yeah. I don't think that, like, anything in her personality has really developed. I liked her confrontation with Kara. And, you know, not accepting, like, some bullshit easy apology. I don't know. I still, you know I love a villain, right? So I still love to just watch Juliet unravel. And I'm not really on a side because, obviously, like, Juliet is so wrong. But it's interesting television. It's interesting to see how Kelsey handles this kind of stuff. Like, her trying to stay, like I said, neutral, knowing that Juliet is going to make herself look bad, is a cool tactic to watch, for sure.
Yeah, and it works on this show in a way that it wouldn't work on an average Housewives season, because I think Kelsey would come off as, like, incredibly boring and, like, not an agent of any sort of, like, change or drama. And just, like, she would seem like she was letting herself just, like, get the shit kicked out of her on Housewives. But you're right that there's, like, she's surrounded by so much chaos and so many extreme characters and so much fighting. And she does, like, put in her two fucking cents about shit.
Yeah.
She did go up to Juliet when Juliet was hitting on Max. Like, she is involved, but I think that she's doing a good job of, like, staying in a place where I could still root for her on a show where I'd feel like I can't root for a lot of people. Other than wanting to root for Juliet to say some crazy mean shit to people.
I did love the last scene where, like, this is just quintessential Siesta Key. It's like they're all discussing what happened. They're all discussing how Juliet, like, didn't take time to reflect on hitting her in the face, how she just went to a football game and is on a private jet. And, like, Georgiana is saying, like, she's a bad look for Sam, whose family is, you know, needs to uphold their image. She can't just go around hitting people. And then Kelsey is sitting there and Amanda's like, why would you say that about Juliet? She's just like, I've known Juliet for a long fucking time. And just because she punched one of our friends in the face doesn't mean you can comment on her character. You don't know what they're like together in their relationship. And I'm just like, this is psychotic logic. And Kelsey's sitting there, like, absolutely laughing because she's just like, my friends are fucking idiots, you know?
Could you imagine someone punches you in the face, then you and I are out at a dinner and I'm like, listen, things aren't just, like, over with her because she punched Alyssa in the face. That's, like, not how life works. And she went out of her way to say it. It's so good. They're all such messes. It's great. I am on pins and needles waiting to watch this hot mess that is Georgiana meet alien fucking baby mama, Brandon's baby mama, who I'm convinced is a robot. I do not think she's a real human. She just acts and talks so weird and creepy. And to watch them meet is just going to be like everything that I've ever wanted from this show. That's very exciting to me. I think I'm confused by who Serena is. Serena, who is her like title card always says Juliet's friend, seems to be like a slightly older, slightly wiser, has her shit together presence that I'm also kind of convinced is a ghost because she's never at the party scenes, but she's on always like sitting on the beach with just one other character and being like, listen, Juliet, you can't punch people in the face. And then she'll be like, listen, Madison, I need you to look in the mirror and tell yourself that you love yourself and that you there's more than just like your friendships and ish in your life. And I'm like, who is Serena? Where did she come from? What's
she
going on?
She is a successful businesswoman. She is what they all aspire to be.
She's a ghost. She's a like vision. I don't believe that. Like, I'm like really feel like I'm watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie when she's on because she feels like she's from a different show. And she's obviously been used to be a scene of like a vehicle to have a scene where people aren't like punching and spitting in each other's faces because she's like this very calming energy that comes in and makes people sit down and have mature conversations. And I'm like, who the fuck is this person? I don't get it. Why not make like, I mean, she can't do it, I guess. I was going to be like, why not make Chloe try to do this? But she can't.
Yeah.
She can't.
I totally agree with you. I think that's really funny. I've never thought about how she's, they're always like one-on-one alone talking to her and it could easily be like, the twist is she was in their mind. That's Juliet in the future. Like whatever. Yeah, I have no idea like what she's successful for. I feel like we should look it up for the next pod.
It's Juliet from the future.
Juliet's like, wow, I like gained a lot of weight.
I like the this being like the bad, you were talking about student films. Like what is the bad student film version of this Siesta Key private island trip? I think we just found it and I think it's great, but this is good. Oh, we didn't talk about the fucking Bachelorette.
Guys, it's so sad. It's very sad.
It is sad. It's like not, and it's sad for different reasons. And some of them are like actually are do like touch me and I think are important to talk about. And then there's other things that just like keep like feel like they're kicking me once I'm down after that. And so there's just moments of it that this show is like not making me feel great watching it. Like, I know The Bachelorette has never been the most intentionally funny show, but I feel like they're even giving up on trying to be intentionally funny. Mm-hmm. They're not like, look at, let's go fucking give this guy a massage and then we'll switch and it'll be a, like that's, they've kind of forgotten that. What I will say is that Bash Ball was insulting to me. The little low budget, like tiny suspender wrestling outfits they were in that they were just like borrowing from what seemed like another challenge, but then covering their butts with these like Mickey Mouse heart buck cheek things were so unflattering, so gross. And they were like, the concept is you just slam into each other until we have to call an ambulance. I was like, this is crazy. And we're going to make that photographer who wears a lot of eyeliner be one of the judges and not talk. Like, I hate everything about, like, it was just so lazy. It was so low budget. It was, like, insulting to me that they were just waiting for somebody to get hit. And then it was that sweet, sweet guy. I, like, can't deal. I, like, that really, that's my only major, major note from this episode.
Yeah, obviously I'm not pro a sport that's basically, like, basketball with no dribbling on the grass. Like, that just doesn't sit right with me. And, you know, Mike made a good point. He's, like, they're basically asking them to play rugby, which is, like, a very violent sport. And then yes, being upset that there's violence. And they do this every season. It's like they are trying to see what happens when, like, a man gets hurt and the Bachelorette, like, runs to his side and, like, comforts him. But it's really, I don't know. We just know what's coming every single time. And it's so dangerous.
Yeah. And she made the point of in this instance, and I guess the last, like, what, three seasons, that they're in the bubble. So if you get hurt, you're out. Like, you don't get to come back. There's no, like, cute coming back from the hospital footage. It's just like, no, you just get kicked off because you were slammed into the dirt while you were wearing a male romper with no ass. Like, that would be so awful. Those are some of the things. I guess it just, like, appeals to the competitive part of them. But, like, those are some of the moments. Like, remember a few seasons ago, someone was like, I'm not doing this. This is insulting to me and my child. And he turned out to be like an absolute asshole. But he was like, I'm not going to do this. I have dignity. This was one of those where I was like, I'm shocked. No one's like, I'm not doing this, man. I'm not. Look at this fucking outfit and the concept of this game. Like, I'm not going to do it. But I guess they're very bored. They're trapped in the house and they're like, great, a game. I'll do it. But you got to look back at it and be like, oh, God, what an embarrassing challenge this was.
So stupid. No I would good. Much rather see them struggle to play a sport. Like, if they can't yes. dribble, that's funny. You know, we don't need to have it result in injuries. Like, that's not the only way to show that you're macho or whatever they're trying to do. But, yeah, I mean, they're having some serious conversations on The Bachelorette. They're very sad. I guess I'm glad that some of this is being aired, you know, to such a wide audience. But it just feels like a very different tone for the show.
Yeah. In the very first Bachelorette season, she took like six of the boys to the basketball courts on Venice Beach and they played with Globetrotters.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I would love to see that.
Yeah. And it was hilarious. That seems so funny to watch the guys be like, oh, God damn it. And they're all like really excited to like meet Globetrotters, but like so embarrassed to be in that situation. And it's great. It's good TV. It's like,
nothing
that's what you could do.
It is more exciting for me to watch than a man who thinks he's very athletic who does not know how to play basketball at all. Like, it's like such a specific like skill that when you're playing, if you're just big and hulky, You like throw your body around too much, or you're not coordinated enough to keep the ball with you, and it's just, I don't know, I would get a real kick out of it. So.
Well, that's all, folks. What a classic Alyssa and Taylor recap in the week episode. Am I right? Talking about wallpaper and bad basketball. Hey.
Yay.
I'm excited for next week. We're getting Erica Jane crying. We're going to meet Jordana and Creepy Baby Mama. Mm-hmm. We've got some exciting things coming. And we're also going to have a fun interview next week. So everybody have a fun, safe weekend.
Bye.